today as we come to the table.
You can never abandon your altar with God without having your life greatly altered in a bad way. I used to have that regular quiet time, that time of worship, that time of seeking the Lord, and I've just gotten too busy. You've just fallen victim to the scheme of the enemy. He's taken your availability and made you unavailable. When God says, just give me the ability you have and I'll use it. Just come back to the place, come back to the altar with God where you're building Him and putting Him first in everything in your life, and I'll get you back on track. Well, some of you might say, you know what, I've never even had that altar with God. Well, then today establish one. Before you leave today, say, God, I want to establish a place of worship.
In your faith journey, have you maintained a time with God to remain in closeness with Him? Have you been diligent about taking time away from your day to focus on Him completely? Today, Pastor Mark wants you to know that if you want to experience all of God's promises, you need to have focused time with Him. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In our busy lives, it's easy to come up with excuses to blow off time with God, whether it's justification by praying in our heads or simply blaming the impossible schedules of others. We all find ways to get out of our quiet time with God. Don't let the world get to you and stay true in your commitment to dedicated time with the Lord. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
God said, go to the land of Canaan, and there I will provide for you. I'm not saying that that means that none of us can ever look for another job or we can never move to a new town. Here's the principle. Wherever God has called us, make sure you stay there until God calls you somewhere else. And oftentimes we find ourselves in a panic situation, but God hadn't told us to move, and yet what do? We take off. And maybe, listen, maybe it even is something very tempting, but you see, if I go to Egypt, I can get $10,000 more a year. I know there's not a good church there, and really I haven't even checked to see if that new town even has a good church, but the salary increase is great. Listen, whenever you do that, you're going to stop building altars to God, and now you're going to lay your family on the altar of ruin. And that is exactly what Abraham does. And we're going to see that Abraham pays the penalty. And the sad thing is, Abraham does even increase financially. Now, he didn't go down there to increase financially, but we're going to see that when he goes, he does. And yet at the same time, his family paid a great price for it. Now, let me give it balance. Mark, does that mean I can't take a job with a better salary? No, it doesn't mean that. God opens up doors for better salaries to be a blessing to his children. There's nothing wrong in that. The point is, make sure that you're not just running to Egypt when times get hard, for whatever the case might be, because you think there's something better the world has to offer when you haven't heard the voice of God tell you to do it. And make sure that you're putting the altars first. Make sure you're building an altar before you ever follow what you think is going to be something best for your family financially, because it can lead to ruin. The word down here means to go down, to descend, to decline, to march down, to sink down. And from this point on, we see Abraham's life and his family's life go south until Abram comes back to the place where God had called him. And there's no indication, again, that God called him down there. And it's interesting to me that until he comes back from Egypt, we see that God didn't say anything else to him. You know, some of you may have run down to Egypt right now because times got hard for whatever. I don't know what Egypt is for you. It doesn't always just mean financial. But running to the world somehow is going to offer some kind of help. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need. Note this, everything. How many things? Everything we need for life and godliness. That is not just for godliness. Well, I understand the Bible's good for living for God. That's good. I'll read the Bible when it comes to living for God. Wait a minute. He's given us everything we need for what? Life and godliness. In other words, all that you need for your life is found in the pages of Scripture. He says, through the full knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and his own excellence. And you know, how many times do we see people running to the world? I have to say, as a pastor, it breaks my heart to see believers running to the world to get counsel. I hear that, I'm going to the world, I'm going to go get counsel. Where are you going to? And, well, I'm going to the world. I'm like, what are you doing? Why don't you go to somebody godly? Why don't you go to a Christian? Why don't you go to the Word of God? The Bible says he's the wonderful counselor. It's interesting. I know of a very large church, many thousands, that their approach to counseling is this, that people come to them to seek them for counsel, and they say, all right, I'll meet you for counsel, but for the first 2 weeks, I want you to go back and seek the Lord on your own in the Word of God and prayer. If you still need us in 2 weeks, come back. They said 80% of those who seek counsel at that church never come back for counsel. Now, they don't leave the church either. So, well, yeah, it's because they got mad and left. No, what it means is they heard the wonderful counselor, and now they don't need the voice of man to bring it up. Now, is it wrong to get godly counsel? No, the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. But I wonder how many of us, rather than running to God to get the counsel we need, run to the world. You know, God lays it out. And he says, I've given you everything that you need. Abraham needed to learn this. He needed to learn that God was going to be faithful even in the midst of hard times, even in the midst of famine. God had sent him there, and God said, I want you to stay there and trust in me to get you through this. And yet we see Abram running off and not trusting the Lord. And again, he went down, and his whole family went down with him because of running to the world. And notice it says in verse 11, and it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you're a woman of beautiful countenance. And therefore it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me, but they'll let you live. Please say you're my sister that it may be well with me for your sake and that I may live because of you. And again, notice now the result of Abram losing trust in God and losing his faith in the Lord. He, instead of building an altar, he began to falter. He lacked faith and trust in the Lord. And from this point on, again, we're going to see that he continues to go down until he comes back to the place where God has him to go. But notice here, as Abraham drew near to Egypt, and this is interesting to me, not only has he left this place of trusting in God and the place where God had called him to, now as he heads down and starts to get toward Egypt, notice he devises his own plan rather than walking in the plan God had given for him. And that will always be the result of walking out of the plan of God. Whenever we leave the place that God wants us to be, we're going to have to come up with our own scheme. We're going to come up with our own plan. And whenever we do our own plan as compared to God's plan, we're in big trouble. And Abraham says, you know what? We're going down to Egypt, and this is what's going to happen, and we're going to devise this thing or whatever. And furthermore, he now resorts to lying rather than trusting. He says, you know what? I've got to come up with this scheme, and I've got to come up with this lie. And he finds himself now entering into further sin by getting out of the direction that God had given him. God was more than able to protect Abram and his family right there in Canaan. And even down in Egypt, if he made that mistake. And yet we see that Abram continuing this downward slide as he's headed south farther and farther, and he's dragging his family with him. Now, again, let me just say this. And, you know, I want to encourage the wives in here, because sometimes we as husbands don't always make the right decision. But, you know, 1 Peter 3, it says that Sarah was an example to godly women throughout time. And why was Sarah a godly example? Because Sarah simply said, all right, you're the leader, I'm going to follow. I may not agree, but I'm going to follow. What a lesson that is. And the bottom line is, it says that Sarah submitted to her husband. And I want to encourage you, ladies, that even though he made a bad decision, even though he made a decision that really eventually put the family in peril, God was faithful to bless Sarai because of her faithfulness. And we're going to see when they get down there, because Sarai was faithful to follow the lead of her husband, God protected her. Now, I'm not saying we follow the lead of our husband into sin. If your husband's leading you into sin and you're going to go into sin, you're not supposed to follow that. But at the same time, there is a godliness to following the leadership that God has put there through the husband, and God rewards Sarai for that. And I think it's an encouragement for the wives to realize that even if our husbands make dumb decisions, which we do a lot, God will be faithful. God simply says, look, wife, do what I've asked you to do, and I'll deal with your husband. And then we as husbands have the responsibility before the Lord. I mean, oftentimes, Tracy will say to me, she'll say, well, you know what? I'm just going to let you stand before God on this one. I'm like, well, thanks a lot. But you know what? She's right. She's right. She doesn't agree with everything I decide is the best direction for our family. But she follows that lead. And see, that's all God asks. And now I'm accountable to the Lord for that. And we as husbands are accountable to God. Now, by the way, let me say this too. Does that mean that a wife doesn't voice her opinion? Of course you voice your opinion. Of course you say, honey, I believe this is a big mistake. I believe this is a wrong direction. And I want you to pray about it. And if we're smart husbands, we will pray. And we will wait on the Lord. But then God says, once we have the clear direction, then again, we're to move on, and the wife is to move on with the husband in that. Well, Sarai, again, she goes with him, and even though he puts her in a tough spot, God, as we're going to see, is faithful to her in the midst of this. Now, it's interesting to me here in verse 13, in verse 11, he says, indeed, I know that you're a woman of beautiful countenance. Now, by this time, she was 65 years old. Now, again, there are women at 65 years old that are beautiful countenance. But again, we're going to see that in every stage of his life where he goes different places with Sarah, as she gets older, he talks about her beautiful countenance that she had and what this view that Abram had of his wife. She no doubt was very beautiful. But again, you see his heart. He's saying, you know what? I want to go down there and have these guys hitting on you, honey, you know? And so, you need to say you're my sister. And I mean, actually, of course, he knew that would probably get him in trouble there. But at the same time, you know, a testimony to this God's faithfulness here to Abram gives him this beautiful wife, and now he's got to make lies, you know, just to try to keep from getting in trouble when he gets down into Egypt. Probably panicked the whole time, but it's amazing to me to see the beauty that she had outwardly. But the greater lesson here is it tells us again in 1 Peter the beauty she had inwardly. And if I wonder if it wasn't some of the fear that he had. You know what? There aren't many women like you, Sarah. And this, I mean, I've heard it said before. You know, anybody can find a woman, but God gives a wife. There's a lot of women out there, but there's very few women of God. The Bible says they're rare. You guys are a rare commodity. And it's beautiful before the sight of the Lord. It's also beautiful in the eyes of man. Abram recognized that. He says, they're going to see your beauty. Yes, I'm sure there was outward beauty, because the Bible says there was. But he says, they're going to see your beauty. There was an inner beauty. There was a deeper beauty. And again, there in 1 Peter 3, it says that let your beauty not be the outward adorning. Not that that's wrong. But the first and foremost goal should be the hidden person of the heart. It's the beauty of the heart that God is looking for. And so he says, say you're my sister, because they're going to kill me. So it was when Abram came to Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. So again, they see that as well. And the princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. The word commended there means they praised her. They bragged on her. They said, man, you got to see this lady, Pharaoh, you know. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Now, let me just say that if Abram had never gone down to Egypt and gotten involved in the world's ways in the first place, he would have never put his wife and Lot in this predicament. And so we see again, we're going to see that Abram gets rebuked not only by the Lord, but sadly enough, even by the world. And in many difficult situations, we put our family in simply because we haven't protected them enough from the world. And I'm speaking to us as men. We need to protect our wives. We need to protect our children. We need to watch over them. You know, and heading down into Egypt, be very careful. Again, the Bible says God's given us all things richly to enjoy, but make sure that we don't plant the things of Egypt in the heart of our children, because when they're older, that's what's going to grow. You know, when Lot goes down into Egypt, he comes back out, and I don't know what Lot was like before that. It doesn't tell us specifically, but you know what? Lot came out of Egypt physically, but they never could get Egypt out of Lot. And as soon as they got to a place where it was time to separate, he had tasted it. Hey, this isn't so bad. Look at the things they have to offer. That's sparkly. That's shiny. Hey, what's so bad about this? This is all good. And I'm not saying that we can't enjoy the things God has given us. It's the sinful allure of the flesh that was planted in Lot's heart. And when Lot comes to the place where he's deciding which way he's going to go, he chooses Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, a city known for its sin, known for its wickedness. What's my point? Parents, we need to be careful that we don't drag ourselves and our families down into Egypt. Because if we give them the taste of Egypt, they're going to desire Egypt. We need to give them the Lord and give them a desire for God. The Bible says, train up a child the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart. And again, there's nothing wrong in having fun, enjoying things that God has given us to enjoy, but make sure that we're not getting them into the world and creating a hunger for the world so that when they get older, they're going to just chase after the world. We need to have our antennas up and to be guarding them, guarding our children. He says, the princes of Pharaoh saw her. They took her after commending her. Verse 16, he treated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. Now, remember, he had quite a bit, it says, when he came out of Haran. It talks about taking all of his belongings. Doesn't give us a great detail of what he had. But now he has more. Pharaoh treated him great. Now, why did he do that? Because in that culture, in that day, what you would do is if you wanted to marry someone, then whoever the caretaker was, whoever the overseer, you would bless them. And so thinking that Abram was simply her brother, what did he do? Well, he gave him basically like a dowry. I'm giving you some things. I'm giving you some riches for your sister here, Abram. And so again, he does increase financially, but at what cost? Again, here's our warning. Yes, a financial increase, but at what cost? Putting his wife and family in danger. And again, were it not for the grace of God, he could have lost everything. But God in his graciousness spared him in the midst of this. And so again, the choices that we make, oftentimes, even if the money is good, may not be the best choice for our family. We need to be wise in that. And now we see that Abraham's in a real pickle here. Notice verse 17. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Now I wonder, I'm sure that Sarah had to be saying, God, protect me. God, watch over me. Abraham must have had some horrible nights thinking about his wife at another man's home and wondering what's going to happen. And thinking, why did I even come down? Or what have I done? What have I exposed my family to? And now we see that God in his grace, even though Abram blew it here, God in his grace, and this is the encouraging part, although we oftentimes do dumb things, God is behind the scenes helping us out. And so God is saying, all right, this was a dumb move, Abram. This was not the right thing. You lacked faith. You took a wrong turn. Now you've put your family and your children at jeopardy, but I'm going to step in and I'm going to help protect them. And that's just the grace of God. And so notice it says he began to plague Pharaoh and his household. And so Pharaoh called Abram. Somehow, obviously, Pharaoh figured out that this was because of Abram and all that was going on. And so he says, he called Abram and said, what is this you've done to me? And why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Now, this is a low place to sink when the world's rebuking us as a believer, is it not? And again, this is what happens, guys, when we begin to head toward the world, when we begin to lose that spiritual edge and begin to just kind of hang out and camp out with the world. We find ourselves in situations where the world's rebuking us. You know, it's interesting. Some of you may have this background. I've talked to others before that have given their life to the Lord, and then they jump back into Egypt and find themselves at some party or something, and the people there that know they're a Christian kick them out. You know, what are you doing here, man? Thought you were a Christian. You're like, wait a minute. So now you got righteous. What are you talking to me about? I never said I was a Christian. You're the one said you were a Christian. What are you doing here? And the world begins to rebuke us. This is the place Abraham. Now, he's not at some, you know, party. I'm not saying that. But because Abraham had started dabbling and gone back to the world rather than trusting the Lord and allowing Egypt to get back into his life, which God had called him out of, so to speak, now he finds himself going back in it. And Pharaoh here giving a rebuke to a man of God. How sad. And yet it was a rebuke that he needed. Pharaoh was right. He says, verse 19, why did you say she's my sister? You're lying. He said, I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here's your wife. Take her and go your way. You know, get out of here. I don't want these plagues anymore. And so Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Now, it's interesting here, as we finish up, we see numerous consequences for Abram once he left the place God had called him. And this is a warning to us. Wherever God has called us, to stay in that place and to trust in the Lord, even if times get hard, to trust in God if we know that he's called us there, or we're going to have some consequences. Notice, first of all, he went from confidence, that is obeying the call of the Lord and going down to Canaan, to conniving. I've got to come up with a plan. You've got to do something here. Rather than simply trusting the Lord, he had to come up with his own plan rather than simply walking in God's plan. Secondly, he went from faith to fear. Trusting in the Lord to go to the land of Canaan. Now he's going down to Egypt and says, they're going to kill me. Well, where's all this trust? Where's this man of faith? Come on, Abram. Again, remember, he's a work in progress. And thirdly, he went from relying to simply lying. Tell him you're my sister. You know, again, the further we get down into Egypt, the more that we do. You know, it's interesting. The first time you do something you know is wrong, it really bothers you. And the more you do it, it doesn't seem so bad, does it? You know why? You're getting deeper into Egypt. And everybody in Egypt does it. That's how Egypt does things. And if all those people do it, and I'm a little bit better than they are, then it can't be that bad. God says, no, I've called you to holiness. I've not called you to set Egypt as your standard. It's not about Egypt being your standard. And that comes to us individually, and that comes to our families and protecting our families. Again, we've talked about it in the movies we watch, in the shows we watch, in the things that we're involved in. God says, I've called you to a different standard. Your standard is not the world. By the way, moms and dads, when you see a G rating on a movie, that's Egypt rating it. Did you know that? God didn't say, I give that a G. Egypt gave it a G. And why do I say that? Because something that breaks my heart in these days that we're living in now, and again, you know, we all want our kids to see something fun. You know, this will be whatever. You'll try to get something you think is going to be okay to view it before your kids see it, and it has sexual innuendos. I go, this is G? And then God began to speak to my heart and say, you know why that has sex in it? Why, God? Because the world rated that. I didn't. Here's my rating. You hold it to the standard of my word. Is it pure? Is it holy? Forget the rating the world gives it. I didn't call you to go by the rating the world sets. You set my standard, and if it meets my standard, enjoy. I've given you all things richly to enjoy, but don't defile yourself with Egypt. And so, again, we have to be responsible to guard our families and to watch after that. Fourthly, he went from blessing, from being a blessing to being a cursing, to being a curse. Instead of being a blessing as God had called him to be, now he's, because of him, Pharaoh's household is cursed. And so by leaving the place God had him and entering into Egypt, he now is being a curse rather than a blessing. Fifthly, note this, while in Egypt, he added a maidservant named Hagar that would not only further interfere with his marriage down the road, but is causing the entire Middle East problem we see in our news tonight. Simply from being down in Egypt. That's where he acquired the Egyptian handmaid. And now we're going to see the Egyptian handmaiden. She's going to come way into play later on when we see that Sarah loses faith and says, you know what, God promised a child, go into Hagar. And again, there's a whole scene there. That happened down in the world. Opening up a door to things we shouldn't have been involved in. Abram should have never even been around that. But he opened up a door and now he's got to pay the price for it. And lastly, as we already said, he ended up being rebuked by the world. Here's the bottom line. Nothing good at all came from Abram running to Egypt, only the consequences and further problems that it brought. And you can rest assured that when we run to the world, there's not going to be anything good that comes out of it, only problems and consequences. God has called us to run to him. And this is a great lesson for each of us as to how devastating it can be to us individually and how devastating it can be to us as families. So where does that leave us today? Well, here's where that leaves us. What is the lesson in this for us? Listen, you can never abandon your altar with God without having your life greatly altered in a bad way. I used to have that regular quiet time, that time of worship, that time of seeking the Lord, and I've just gotten too busy. You've just fallen victim to the scheme of the enemy. He's taken your availability and made you unavailable. When God says, just give me the ability you have and I'll use it. Just come back to the place, come back to the altar with God where you're building him and putting him first in everything in your life, and I'll get you back on track. Well, some of you might say, you know what, I've never even had that altar with God. Well, then today establish one. Before you leave today, say, God, I want to establish a place of worship and praise with you. I want to have that normal time in the Word, that normal time in prayer. And maybe some have not even committed to the Lord. You need to give your life to him before you can even do that. God's calling on your heart, but you're going to have to receive him as your Lord. The good news is all we have to do is simply repent and come back to the place that God has called us to complete dependence and trust. And God will restore us. And again, let me finish with this. It is significant that we don't see God speak to Abram again until he gets back to the place God called him in the first place. You're not going to see Abram spoken to. God's not going to speak to Abram again until we get to chapter 13. And we find, where is he in 13? Right back where God called him, where he never should have left. Where's the voice of the Lord? It might be that you've headed down to Egypt and didn't even realize it. Maybe it's happened so gradually that you thought, well, it's not that bad. And look at the life of holiness I've called you to. Now look how you're living. You're in the midst of Egypt. And you know what? We're not going to be able to move on until you come back to the place that I've called you. Again, it's also interesting to note that he didn't get any further direction from the Lord until he went back to the place God had called him. I've heard people say, it seems like I just don't get any direction from the Lord. You know, well, has it been very long? If it's been a short amount of time, relax, wait on God. But no, it's been years. I haven't heard anything for years. No direction from the Lord. If you've not gotten direction from the Lord in years, you've walked away from the place that God can speak to you. And God is waiting on you. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God. God's up there going, no, I'm waiting on you. And as soon as you come back to the place that I called you to, I'll give you new direction. I'll fill you fresh with my spirit again, and we'll start this thing right where we left off. But you've stunted your growth and your move forward because you've run down to Egypt rather than running to me. Let's run back to the Lord. Let's be altar builders, and let's ask God to help us do that.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.